Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Absolutely delighted to welcome you this morning. It is early. I know some of you left very early this morning. Some travelled 50 miles to get here today, and I'm delighted that so many of you managed to make it along. We have truly a dream team this morning. The bacon rolls were good, you know. Thank you, Aberdeen Asset Management, for breakfast this morning. The rolls were good, but I tell you, this is the feast, ladies and gentlemen. This is actually quite a special day for me today. No, it's not my birthday, but today is the 7th year. I started in ICAS as CEO 7 years ago today. I said, my God, he's been here that long. But I tell you, in that time, I mean, certainly the last number of years particularly, when I've started to rediscover in myself, and I've been articulating that to the members, the sense of profession. Rediscovering what it means to be a profession, not just a qualification, but being a member of a profession. And it's more than just having two letters after one's name. And I have to say, the response to this over the last few years has been phenomenal. And today is a manifestation. We have here what might be described as a classic family event within a profession. We have students here. We have veterans of business and industry that have retired. We have members in practice, members in business. This is our family of several nationalities here today. Gone are the days of the Scottish Institute. This is very much a global institute, and you are the manifestation of that today. Over the last couple of weeks, I've been speaking to virtually all the students who've started CA training this year. It's what we do. The CEO tries to meet them all to inculcate from day one a sense of profession, not waiting till they've qualified several years later. But you know the interesting thing when I go around and I talk to them about the profession and the institute? I use a number of names when I say, do you know what it can mean to be a CA? And I do use Martin Gilbert and Brian Suter in those opening sentences, because truly, ladies and gentlemen, within the 20,000 membership in over 100 countries, we have today what might be in business terms described as two of the most prominent CAs in the 20,000. And we've got two of them here today. Martin is the longest-serving FTSE 100 CEO. Longest-serving. 29 years, we do believe it is, Martin. Brian is respected as probably the global figure in transport, but yet his interests are far, far, far beyond transport. And he has certainly put Perth on the map, the global map. And everybody, when you hear the term stagecoach, will associate with Brian Suter. So ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted. In fact, we're honoured to have both of them give up their time to be with us today. Both are going to give a presentation telling something about their business and their story, and then we'll have time for questions at the end. So ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome Martin Gilbert.
And Brian and I regard ourselves as the dream team in transport, by the way. But the interesting thing is we both almost bust our companies. So it's a remarkable, it's actually remarkable that we're actually here today, I would say. So we both had a good go at it, actually. So, but as I always say to people, it's how you deal with failure rather than the success that differentiates you. I've just got a few slides. Brian's got a scribbled bit of paper, so we'll see see how they look. I'm just going to talk a bit about Aberdeen and give you some of the CAs in the business, because I'm a huge believer in CAs, chartered accountants, and I was just talking beforehand. I would also like, if we get time, to explore why the fund management industry, which used to be populated by chartered accountants, no longer employs them, which is something we should with the institute work on, because it's a much bigger issue than it's much more difficult to get in now as a chartered accountant than it was before. I mean, we're FTSE 100, 200 billion under management. We're in the sort of top 10 to 15 global asset managers, independent global asset managers. We started, three of us, in an office in Aberdeen, and we now have 32 offices around the world with 2,000 staff and a market cap of close to 5 billion. And we manage bonds, equities, and property, and tailored investment solutions. And the key thing we do, which differentiates us from a lot of other asset managers, is we work in teams. So we don't allow any one fund manager to make an investment decision. It's all a team-based process. As you can see, we've grown spectacularly over the last 30 years since we started. I always say to anyone starting an asset management business, the first billion's the hardest, and it took us 10 years to get to a billion, and then another 10 years to get to sort of 20 billion, and then the next 10 to get to 200 billion. And as you can see, the common trend here is that we bought businesses off banks, basically. We bought the Deutsche business, we bought the RBS business, we bought the Credit Suisse business. And probably the one that transformed us from a very small boutique to a global business was buying the Deutsche asset management business, or better known as Morgan Grenfell Asset Manager, which was once the number one asset manager in the UK. As I said, 32 offices around the world. Our strength is Asia, basically. And the single decision that's made us as a company probably was setting up an office in Asia 20 years ago in Singapore. We had a choice of going to Singapore and Hong Kong, and we decided that everyone else was in Hong Kong, so we would go to Singapore. And Hugh Young, my colleague, who's run that for the last 25 years, has built that business from $100 million to $100 billion of AUM, and making us one of the biggest Asian asset managers in the world. The other interesting thing here is how global the business is. You can see here on the left, only 26% of our assets under management are from the UK. The rest are from outside the UK. As you can see, America, 21%. We manage money for half the states in the US, and then Europe is obviously a very big business for us, especially Switzerland. It says here a diversified asset base. In fact, we're quite a concentrated business in that we're one of the world's largest emerging market asset managers, and we are very concentrated in that area. So we have a very volatile share price, in that if emerging markets go up 1%, our shares go up 2%. If they go down 1%, they go down 2%. So for those of you who know the technical terms, we've got a beta of 2, which means we're twice a multiple of what the market does. But we're regarded as one of the top Asian asset managers, one of the top emerging market managers in the world. So it's a great position, a great area to be invested. Just going to run through very quickly Chartered Accountants at Aberdeen, because I would like to explore at some stage with the Institute how we can get more. I can see we've got a spelling error here, Chartered Accounts at Aberdeen. You can tell I haven't checked this properly. We have a lot of CAs in the business doing a wide variety of roles. I've just put up some here so you can see what they do and where they've sort of ended up. You know, equities in Asia, finance, investment management in Edinburgh, head of product management in Philadelphia. So you can see we move our accountants around the world, and they haven't all ended up in finance. So I will give three examples just coming through. So I modestly have put myself as one of the success stories here, as you can tell, at Aberdeen. I went to school in Aberdeen and did an accountancy degree at Aberdeen University, and then trained, obviously, as a chartered accountant, and then formed Aberdeen. And there is no question that the chartered accountancy qualification was the was the single biggest help in my career. That's just to show how it's taken its toll. And I'm going to give you two other examples of the chartered accountants. Rod McRae is group head of risk. As I'm sure you're aware now, in our business, risk is a massive area. So again, it just shows the diversification. And then Joanne Irvin, head of emerging markets, ex-Asia. So she was an example of a chartered accountant that we took in. In the early days when all our fund managers were chartered accountants, basically, she was one of the first to join and would be one of the most successful lady asset managers in the women asset managers in the business. What does it give you? I think a fantastic foundation. It's recognized globally, and as we've shown, options to work in a wide variety of industries worldwide, just great qualification to have. And I think both Brian and I would agree it's been a great help to our success, and then for professional use only. Brian, over to you with your scrap of paper.
Well, thanks very much, and thank you for breakfast. That's how we keep our overheads down. We don't have an office in London. We just use other people's properties. And also to Anton for these amazing introductions. You know, Anton's the sort of person you like to take with you everywhere you went, just to introduce you, you know, because he's just so positive, and he just exudes enthusiasm. You know, it's a bit like the old Scotsman who died, and they were burying him, and his coffin was at the front of the kirk, and the Presbyterian minister went a wee bit over the top about, you know, what a great guy he was, you know, and he'd been a fornicator and a philanderer and all the rest of it. And anyway, halfway through his speech, the mother dug the son in the ribs. She said, "Willie, going to lift that lid and check if your feather's in there," you know. So I did feel a wee bit like that with that amazing introduction. Of course, he's very charming, you know, and he said, "I would like you to come, and you know, because you're the creme de la creme." I was okay till I looked up the dictionary; it said "rich and thick," you know. Anyway, any excuse to get away from Perth always welcome, you know. Perth's a bit of a backwater, as you probably know, and you know, the Scottish government canvassed the lifestyle of the people in Perth and asked them a whole lot of questions about their lifestyle. And one of the questions on the survey was, "What do you use for protective sex?" And 85% of the respondents said the bus shelters, you know, so it's that kind of place, isn't it, you know. Anyway, they did a similar survey in Liverpool. People were asked if they'd had sex in the shower. 75% said they had. The other 25% had never been to prison, so there you have it. Anyway, my job this morning is to talk about being a CA, and it did seem like... It seemed like a very obvious choice for me. I really took an interest in bookkeeping at the school. My story is a bit unconventional. I got put into a science course because at the school I went to, only stupid people did business. I don't know, but it's the same at a lot of the Scottish schools. So probably we're looking at some of the most stupid people you could find, really. You just ended up in business, you know. But all the clever people did two languages and science, and you were really only streamed into business if you're a wee bit slow. And so I found myself there really quite easily. But once I actually got into doing that, I found I was enormously interested in it, and I began to get amazing scores in my accounting tests or whatever. And what I liked about it was I have a mental block about maths, believe it or not, and I don't have an O level in maths, which made it very difficult for me to get actually through the institute thing and all the rest of it. But the interesting thing about maths, of course, is that it's to do with all these X's and Y's, algebra particularly. As soon as I saw these numbers, my computer came up with a row of nines on it, right? But if you put a pound sign behind the numbers, I'm really fine with it, you know? So accounting was just a dream for me because it was to do with arithmetic, which I could do, and I understood the pounds behind it, and it made a great deal of sense. And so I came into the CA by a circuitous route because I didn't have O-level maths and I couldn't get to university because I didn't have O-level maths. So I went to Dundee College of Commerce and I did this diploma in commerce, which was an amazing course because you did every kind of accounts. You did container accounts and we just do incomplete records and all the rest of it. And when it comes to doing institute exams, Murder and the group at Arthur Anson were, you know, very charitable. They used to run a lottery on who they thought would pass. And apparently, I don't know whether you lost a lot of money on me, but I know a lot of people lost a lot of money on me on the first set of institute exams, because when I went to work for Arthur Anderson, I really struggled to make the adjustment because I'd been a bus conductor and I had been working my way through university. And the discipline of Arthur Anson, I turned up the first day wearing a cardigan, you know, somebody kind of pulled me aside and said, well, we don't wear cardigans, we're accountants, we just wear suits, you know. I said, well, what do you do when you check the stock? Is it no cold, you know? Anyway, I took my cardigan off and I began to fit into this. But actually, I found it very difficult at first to adjust. And the first payroll test, which was supposed to take 18 hours, took me 55. And my senior was not happy about this. And when I was asked a lot of searching questions about it, they said, how do you feel about it? Because Arthur Anderson, a wee bit of, you know, psychological management, we were way ahead at that time, you know. The other people didn't bother with it, but Arthur Anderson did that kind of stuff. You know, how do you feel about the test? I said, well, I think I feel okay, you know. I said, I struggled a bit. I said, but I feel I made a lot of friends. And I said, well, that's not really what you're here to do. You know? But the interesting thing, you know, about all of that is that, you know, I came from a different route and I had to do that. But when I did all this stuff at Dundee, when it came to doing institute exams, I could do it nae bother because I had done a whole lot of bookkeeping, you see. And so all these first class honours people from Glasgow were kind of after the exam saying, well, what do you think of that question? I'm sort of a wee bit hesitant. I said, well, I thought it was incomplete records. And then I saw someone going, doing, he's right, you know, it is an incomplete records question. So they struggled with some of that stuff. So it was a great training, and my circuitous route actually probably equipped me better. It is a fantastic qualification. I'll just tell you, I absolutely needed the discipline of becoming a Scottish CA. I had very, very rough edges. I'm very grateful to Arthur Anderson for taking me on. It was a genuine meritocracy. I have to say this, a lot of the other traditional firms didn't give me a job, partly because I didn't have the right sort of background. In fact, the only thing I wasn't was a black Catholic. Everything else was against me. I mean, everything else, I was in the wrong address, my father's wrong occupation, I mean, to the wrong school, you know, I can go on and on, you know, right? But I'm glad to see we're getting rid of some of these prejudices out of professional life, because we're long overdue to get rid of them. But Arthur Anderson was genuinely a meritocracy, and they were only interested that you could do the job. And that's the way I've run my businesses. And I learned that at Arthur Anderson. I learned an enormous amount from becoming a CA. And it did give me the discipline, because I was scrappy, and I was disorganised, and it taught me logical thinking, which I still use to this day, and I'm still using a lot of the same methodology that Murdoch and the rest of them taught me, Arthur Anderson, and it still stands me in very good stead. So it's a fantastic training, and you know, for those here that are younger ones, you know, just stick with it, because although it can be tough at times, when you're finished, you will be fit for work. When you're finished this, you will be fit for work, and you will be a highly useful and valuable person in whatever company you decide to work in the future. So that was the background to the thing for me, and it was interesting that you talked about failure, because I have had my share of it too, and I actually think that that's a good thing, because some of the most boring people I've ever met are highly successful, and actually failure is part of life, and we shouldn't be afraid of failure. And the thing about it is to get off the floor, pick yourself up and dust yourself down and get on with it, and not allow the failure to stop you from doing things in the future. I have a whole lot of different investments. One of my investments was Scott Airways, which is not one of my better ideas. And it was one of these companies that, you know, it was a fun investment. I call it a fun investment. It was fun the first time you met someone on an aeroplane that told you about it. But by the time it come to the fifth and sixth capital calls, it's just not fun any longer, you know. And so it's a bit like that. And after the 9/11 thing, it was disastrous because nobody was travelling. And we're sat in a room, we're talking about, and somebody said, well, I've heard that British Airways, this is like in October, British Airways run out of money in February. And somebody says, well, I've heard that Virgin run out of money in January, so I'm just about, I've spoken to someone from British Midland, they run out of money in December. I say, guys, can I remind you why we're here? We run out of money on Friday, you know, it's that kind of thing. So we've had our fair share of failure as well. So enough about the past, and just quickly really to that. I've always felt that it was a vocation that I chose to do accountancy, I chose to do CA. And that's because when I got my job with Arthur Andersen, I remember John Moyer saying to me, why do you want this job? And I said, I've done a lot of bookkeeping, and I like doing it because I get a relationship with the people that I'm dealing with, and I actually feel that what I'm doing is a really useful function, and I actually feel that I can contribute to what's happening in these businesses. And I said, it's a vocation. And he said, that's right. He said, that's the reason that I do this job too. And that's the reason why he gave me the job. And I have always felt that, you know, if you just find your way into CA because, you know, it's a good thing to do, that's not the best way to come to it. It should be something you've thought about and that you feel you really want to do. And you can see that from that platform, you can make a really positive contribution and actually do a lot of really good work. And the relationships that develop from that are absolutely fundamental to it being successful. So you also have to be good with people, in my view, if you're going to be a successful CA. So quickly on to the present then, because I've talked long enough already. But just to say, I'm now the chairman of Stagecoach. It's a fantastic job. I do 7% of the work I did before, and I get 35% of the salary. It's just amazing. And if anybody offers you a job like this, take it, because it's a fantastic job. I'm never going to get another job like this ever again, and I know that, how lucky I am, right? So Martin, who is another CA, and Ross is another CA, they're running the business, and that's good, because Martin's really been doing it for quite a number of years. And I've just been faking it. And he's really been doing all the work, right? And it's great, because Martin does all the things that I'm not good at doing and all the things I don't like doing. That's quite a lot of things now. So, you know, he's actually been doing more and more of the work. So Stagecoach is going great. We've got some fantastic strategies. We've got organic growth strategies in America, which are going amazingly well. We launched this kind of megabus, which is like an internet. It's just like Ryanair on the buses is the easiest way to describe it, and it's got enormous potential. And everybody else, all the stuff that's on the web and selling on the web has grown really fast, same as Tesco and everybody else, you know. So it's important as a bus company to find ways of selling on the internet, and I think we've done that successfully at Stagecoach, and it is all heading along very well. For me, also, I'm spending a bit more time on Sutra Investments, which is, you can go on our website, we've got a whole variety of investments. Some of the transport stuff, and it's very interesting, we had a big chunk of Sunseeker, which we sold to Mr. Wang, which is super. Mr. Wang's the wealthiest man in China. He went to see Casino Royale. That's a great story, and he loved the movie, and there's a Sunseeker boat in the movie, and so he said, I'm going to have one of them. Then after he bought the Sunseeker boat, he liked it so much, he came back and bought the whole company. It's fantastic. And we also sold another business, which is called Argen, which makes biofuel. You can make biofuel from a lot of different things. You make it out of sewer grease that comes out of the sewers. I mean, basically, when the fat goes down the sewer, it does what it does in your veins when you eat all these fish suppers and deep-fried marsh bars. It lines your veins, right? So what you do is you've got to scrape it out, and that's what they do in the sewers. If you don't scrape it out, the sewers all clog up. And actually, you can recover 40%. Now, we had this really clever idea that we would do this as a pre-prep plant in Wishaw. It smelt bad before, but after we did the sewer grease, it was unbelievable. But we can actually make diesel, biodiesel from all sorts of things. So one day we got a phone call from Stornoway, and they said, there's an enormous whale on the beach, and it's dead. Can you take it? And we said, sure. Put it in the back of your truck and send it down, you see? So they sent the truck down. The whale was supposed to arrive at 11 o'clock, and the truck driver phoned about 20 past 11, and we thought he'd lost his way. So he says, hello, I'm the truck driver from Stornoway, and I've got the whale. He said, but I've got a bit of a problem. So we said, what's your problem? He says, well, he said, I was coming through Motherwell, he said, and he said, the whale blew up. He said, and the blubber's gone all over a pedestrian crossing. He says, landed on a girl with her pram, and the baby in the pram. So he said, scrape all the blubber off the girl's pram, and she, the baby was all right. Anyway, all made good biofuel. And subsequently, we've sold that business to Swire. They didn't want a lot of publicity about it. We did rather well with that too. And we were part of eShare, a wee bit of eShare. and we did rather well in that flotation as well. So there's lots of exciting things happening. And the final thing that I'm involved in is Souter Charitable Trust. We have a kind of a way that we work this. I make the money and my wife gives it all away. And she runs a charitable trust. She used to be a social worker, and which is as well because her children are complete delinquents. And it's been, she's going to have a full-time job looking after the four of them. And but she also does a charitable trust. And we give away, it's a public record, we give away $24 million over 3 years, and we have about $40 million of assets in the trust. So these are the things that we do. But being a CA is unusual. If you can, now just a final tip, and then I'm going to shut up. If you can, take your CA qualification and then find something else that you're really passionate about, whether it's golf or it's music, or you're like kind of weird like me and it's buses, right? But if you can find something that you're passionate about and you can match these very good skills you get from being a chartered accountant with something that you're passionate about, you could become an entrepreneur. And I didn't set out to become a multimillionaire. I just was really interested in these things. I saw my CA job as a vocation. I saw transport as something I was passionate about. I married two things together, and I'm really blessed and very privileged because I've done something that I've really enjoyed doing. It's just not been a burden because life is too short and you spend too much time at your work not to enjoy it. And if you can do that, then you'll have a happy life. Thank you.